Father in heaven, we are very grateful to be gathered here as men, and we're excited about the possibilities of this short little seminar. I pray that you would be our guide, that you would speak to us, and you would challenge our thinking and our intentions in regards to men's ministry. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Genesis, chapter 11. Robert, chapter 11 comes right after what? Oh, chapter 10, yes, very good. Very good. Do you know what happens in chapter 11? I see that one person at your table has a Bible. The phone died. Oh, snap. That's what happens when we said text for the message. The Tower of Babel, very good. There's something about the Tower of Babel that I find very interesting, and I want to share that with you. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. They said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So far, what have we discovered about the Tower of Babel? Man-made, okay. It was more than a tower. What was it? A monument, okay, good. There's a city that they're building. What kind of city? A city of refuge. When I pastored the Bushmen, they would have these straw huts that they would make. Why? Protection. Well, that's all they had. But they weren't going to be stationary. They were going to move around. And so they didn't care about that hut. It was gone. They'd go and they would build another. If you're building something out of what? What's it say? Brick and mortar, then you're intending for it to be around a while. You're committed to that. You're connected to it. They're building this tower for why? To be stable. I heard. Oh, good, good, good. If God said, if God broke his promise and decided to destroy them with a flood again, well, they're going to reach up to heaven. We all know this, right? Yes? Hasn't been like new light here? What did God say about these people? They can do anything. Do you believe that? That's good. God believed it, right? He can do anything. Man, God said man can do anything. Were they with God in this time? Were they partnered with God? No. This is going to sound heretical and this being recorded. Without God, man has some incredible possibilities. Do you see that, yes or no? They can build things. They can imagine. That's what the text actually says. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Our minds are powerful. We can imagine things and create things, and then we can take action on those thoughts and actually bring them to pass. Oh, yeah, they're unified, right? One people, one language. So what's your excuse? Fear? We have too many minds. Too many different ideas. Is Jorge here still somewhere? I don't know how many tables I got going. Don't look in this bag yet. You already ate. Yeah? Yeah, I'm mind to look in that bag. You can look in it, just not yet. I do need you, Jorge, when you get a chance. This is what we're going to do. Do I need more bags? He's back there making them. Go ahead, join up. Whose table needs a bag still? I do have slides for this. I guess I could put the slides up, right? Here we go. Whoever wants to grab the bag, go ahead, grab the bag. Whoever grabbed the bag is the leader. You're the leader. Okay, so what we're going to do, and we're only going to take 15 minutes or so, 10 minutes to do this. We're not taking the whole time, all right? This is an object lesson. We're going to see who can build the tallest freestanding structure. Tallest freestanding, and I can measure it. Right? I'm a man. I care about measuring things. Right? And I brought my tape. So we'll work that out. All right. So we measure it from the top of the table. Yes or no? Do you see that? Good. You cannot put a chair on the table and then put your tower on the chair. That's cheating. And cheaters never win. I will use that saying. Good. You can't suspend it from the ceiling. Actually, you can suspend it from the ceiling, right? If you come up with a way, no, don't worry about that. The entire marshmallow must be on top of the structure, all right? Andy Rakapaw, do not eat the marshmallow. Don't eat parts of it, none of that. The entire marshmallow must be on top. Don't cut it, don't eat it, don't. Maybe if you lick it and make it sticky, I don't know. You can use as many or as few of the supplies as your team chooses. Now, let me say this. If you have a pocket knife or something like that, you can use that, all right? And maybe if you have some kind of other weird thing with you, be creative. Okay, you can break the spaghetti. You can cut the tape. I have tape. I'm going to give you, I don't know where Jorge is. I'm going to give you a yard of tape. How long is a yard? 3 feet, 36 inches, good. He's working on that, we'll get you the tape. We're gonna do this in 10 minutes, and then I'm gonna measure. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna measure. So what are you guys gonna do? You're gonna work this out. Guess who is the worst at doing this? Adults are the worst at doing this. Guess who's the best? Kindergartners are amongst the best at doing this. Guess who's better than kindergartners? Engineers. Right? Those are the only ones. So, yes, I'm going to give you some of this tape. Thank you for asking. All right. Jorge is working on tape. You get about a yard. You get about a yard. You guys have a bag? Oh. Say that again. You want how much tape?
Can I get my own tape?
You cannot get your own tape. This tape is so perfect that I can't feel it anymore. Yeah, he's working on it right there. All right, I got to start a timer here. What did I say, 10 minutes? Begin. I know you don't have your tape. Start to plan. That is the biggest yard ever. You don't have a bag. Oh, that's going to be really hard to build a tower without a bag. Oh, there's one here. Who else didn't get a bag? You guys in the back. There you are. There you are. Don't eat the marshmallow, bro. Okay. All right, we've got people planning, strategizing. There's some TP stuff going on. My father-in-law is an engineer. He's hard at work here. What are you supposed to do? Hold on. I know. Oh, no. I want to make a point. We started at 1:30. He wants to know what he's supposed to do. Should I help him? I'll put the instructions back up. All right, you got someone with a question. Go ahead, shout it out. No. Good question. Don't use the bag. Some of you have string. If you want to use the string, use the string. When I say string, I'm talking about thread. Did you guys eat your marshmallow? No, not yet. Marshmallow goes on, has to be on top. All right, these guys are working on something. Oh, we got a pathfinder tying knots. Some good master guide technique here. Oh, you didn't get tape yet. Oh, they didn't get tape. You get 3 extra minutes? I'm looking for tape. All right. Jorge's got the tape. Raise your hand if you need tape. And Jorge, that tape is about a yard. That guy's got 6 foot of tape over there. That's great. We're going to talk about this. Jorge, aquí, por favor. Guys coming in just now, if you want to be a part of this class, I'll give you a bag, or you can join up with a team that's already working. The instructions are up on the board here, and I'll forward it when you're done reading them. Jorge, they need tape over here. Hey, the problem with that is that I have another class, right? And everyone's supposed to get 3 feet. Yeah, everyone's getting like 5 foot of tape. This is unbelievable. There's a group of guys in the back who just came in. They need tape. All right. 7 minutes left. 7 minutes left. I know you're hoping we would spend all of our time just doing this. Oh, you guys are taping a bunch of other stuff together. We'll see if they permit this. We'll do it by a democratic vote, all right? We'll see what happens. Oh, I didn't even announce. If you have the tallest tower, I got a bag of Snickers for you. Snickers, that's like a protein bar. I got a bag of fun-size Snickers for you. Fun size. Are you having fun? They're not big enough. They're just for fun. Fun-size Snickers. 6 minutes. A lot of conversation going on. Hey, Robert, do you feel like you're part of the group? I mean, you're a young person here. Do you feel like you have any part in any of this? It's interesting. Oh, he should be telling you how to do it. Yeah, interesting. Pastor Richardson, are you kind of just taking over and doing everything for everybody? Are you working together? All right. You guys got a knife. Good. Score. All right. Oh, these guys have taped the Bible together. That was probably a mistake to tape the Bible together. All right. This is a good lesson. Be thinking of the object lessons that come from this. All right. You're at 4.5 minutes, guys. Some of you don't even have anything up on a table. Everything's laying down. 4.5 minutes. How are you going to get a fun-sized Snickers this way? This is their pride. You can't have Snickers. Yeah. We started off talking about the tower. No, I'm good. Yeah, thank you. All right. Let's see. This is the tallest tower I see so far. About 10 and a half inches. Right now, 10 and a half inches at the middle table. These guys still build them with paper. Whoa, whoa, Pastor Rogers, is this your plan here? You're following someone's directions, huh?
Standing is freestanding, do not touch
it. Wow, freestanding, almost touched it there. Almost. Whoa, you still got some time. That was 2.5 feet. That's not inches, that's feet. 2.5 feet back there. They have three people. Oh, four people. Three. Cody doesn't count. Pastor Francis doesn't count. They do have Harry Rogers. Some of you know Pastor Rogers. He's one of these three career guys. Teacher, builder, pastor. And now he's on to a fourth career spaghetti building. Jorge's been here. He might be building more things in the back for me. I don't know. He's doing well. 2.5 minutes, guys. 2.5 minutes. Remember, that marshmallow's got to be on the top. That marshmallow has got to be on the top. Well, this is like the Leaning Tower of spaghetti marshmallows, huh? Nice. All right. It has to be on the table. You all are scamming. We'll see what they come up. Hey, guys, doing all right? There are some scammers about. We'll see with a Democratic vote if they get rejected. Whoa, no marshmallow on the top, but that's pretty tall. 2 minutes. 2 minutes remaining. 2 minutes remaining. Yes. Supposed to be freestanding, but I'm going to allow them to vote. You know, we got people building on boxes, and I mean, it's a bunch of guys. It's hard to know what the rules are going to end up being. 1 minute, 25 seconds. 1 minute, 20. Something. Oh. Thank you so much. What's this? Oh, I thought you were stealing bags from these guys. 30 seconds. Gene Foss, 30 seconds. Gene said no more minutes, so I guess we'll give him the seconds now. Uh-oh. That's a little saggy. Someone was drooling on their marshmallows. Yeah. What? Wow. Marshmallow's got to be on top. If there's no marshmallow on top, it doesn't even count. 2 seconds! Oh, time. 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 Hands. Hands off. Hands off. Hands off. Here, I'll let you measure it. Hands off. Hands. 23 and an eighth. 23 and an eighth. Anyone feel like they've got more than 23 and an eighth? You're holding it. That's part of the building. It's got to be freestanding. All right, we'll hold it up right now. All right, let it go. Oh, not even close. Not even close. You're holding yours up too. Let it sag. Let's see what happens. Go ahead, let it go. What happened? What's it say? 10 and a quarter.
How tall it had to be?
10. What do you have there? 23 and an eighth. He's guessing 15. What's it say? 17. Wow. Rod, what'd you end up with? That's looking very archery-ish. All right, so who had the tallest one? You guys did? Congrats. Oh, man. All right, go ahead and unhand your tower. Clio guys, good job. Oh, man. Okay, who was the leader of your group? Go ahead, son, leave that alone. Who was the leader of the group? Okay. From this table, they said their leader was the one who didn't do any work. Have a seat, son. He's allergic to spaghetti. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. The leader has a gluten intolerance and could not participate in the spaghetti tower. That's awesome. That's awesome. What a great excuse. And you guys did not even get close to building a tower, right? There's a foundation established. Noodles taped to a table. All right. Who else? Your leader. Who was your leader? Did he lead? Slightly? All right, he distributed tools. He was in charge of tool crib. All right, right, good. Blue collar leadership, great. What else did he do? Did he tell you how to build it? No, it didn't help you with that. Interesting.
He had four guys.
What about you? Who was your leader? You had six leaders. All right, and I remember when I came over here, you were all holding up your own tower together. Yeah, failed. Six leaders. All right, Harry, were you the leader back here? You just were a walk-in. You were a walk-in with a vision. Now, what happened? Because your tower was the biggest. You tried to improve it and failed. Great. Whose idea was it to improve it? There's only three of you, right? There's only three of you. Hey, go have a seat with your grandfather. And please don't get up again. Who was the leader?
He has experience in physics.
But he wasn't here when you guys grabbed the bag. One of you grabbed the bag, bro. You were the leader. What's that marshmallow taste like? Because I know you were craving it. That's good. All right, you guys started building on paper, correct? Were you allowed to build on paper?
No.
Okay, good. All right, who is your leader? Robert? No? You were the leader? Okay. You grabbed the bag, became the leader. Yes, and what happened? 10 minutes wasn't enough. It was my fault. Yeah, no, that's good. Right, it's not your fault, it's the boss, the next level. It's gotta be their fault. Can't be your fault. Who is your guys' leader? Dave. Elder Dave Rakapaw from the Clio Church. How much did you? Great talking to you, Dave. What happened here? You guys came in late, and then you ran out of time. Oh, what? Okay, there's two men here. Their tower is still standing. It's a lot of tape. Who was the leader?
I was, but
You didn't have enough spaghetti? Oh, Scarcity of resources. Scarcity of resources. Now, no planning ahead. That's beautiful. Some people, they took a little time to plan before they started working. All right. The person with the title of leader, were they the leader? I mean, just look around right now. Did they end up being like the leader? Not necessarily. Exactly. They were just, not dumb enough, whatever you want to call it. Quick enough. They reached for the bag and that made them the leader. Oh, did you get handed the bag? Nice, sometimes that happens too. This is exactly what happens in our churches. We pick someone to be the men's ministries leader. Why? They have facial hair? They're the only one that would agree? We do it in every office, every position. Want to hear something kind of scary? We do it with pastors sometimes too. You know we have a pastor shortage, right? That we have far fewer pastors. People don't want to be pastors. It's not glamorous anymore. The title, I've only been in ministry 16 years, so maybe there was a time. Title means nothing. You might have the title of being the men's ministries director, but that might not make you the leader. I started pastoring at 22. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I became my mother's pastor. That's ridiculous. Not that we shouldn't start people in ministry, but I was not going to be the leader. We're not always the leader in the circumstance just because you have the title. So you got to figure out who the leader is. And you guys did that. How? How did you figure out who the leader would be? You just started taking some action. Right? Started taking some action, and then it became clear with this responsibility, this person should be the leader. Tell me your name.
Joe.
Joe was the leader before he realized that he was allergic to everything in the bag. Right? So what did he have to do as the leader? He encouraged you, yeah. He had to let someone else lead. He had to work with the group. Now, were all the team members equally helpful? In your group, you're saying yes. Not in your group. The leader was not equally helpful. Was everyone equally helpful? He held the tape. Great. We're finding reasons now. We're like, that guy was worthless. Oh, he held the tape. You need people to hold tape. Everyone was busy, but didn't finish anything. It's amazing. There's all kinds of lessons. I hope you're picking them up because I can't just shove them down your throat. They're all there. You see them. Not all team members are equally helpful. Were there some that were chargers? They were just, we're moving ahead with this. Did you have that going on? Yeah? Did they break the spaghetti? We got spaghetti breakers over here. Did they get the tape stuck to the Bible? Have mercy. Or the tape stuck to itself, and then you got to figure out how do you untape the tape from the tape, right? You can't untape tape from tape, but that happens when you charge ahead. Were there laggers? What's a lagger? If you had one at your table, you're thinking about him right now. What's a lagger? A slacker? What's a lagger? The guy who sits there and watches, along for the ride. Sometimes maybe he's holding things up a little bit, like, oh, are you sure you should do that? Maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe we should do, let's take some time and think about it. Yeah, 10 minutes. Oh, very good. Blame the people up top. I'm coming to that one, don't worry. Talkers, people who just want to talk about everything. Did you have that going on? Not enough time to have the talkers get in there. Yeah, these guys are very affirming of one another. It's kind of beautiful. They're like, hey man, we really did good. No, we didn't build a tower, but man, man, this is good. We talked. We got close to holding hands with the spaghetti stuff. Awkward. The last one I have on here, complainers. Remember I told you I'd get to you? Complainers. What do complainers do? Yeah, very good. Very good, Dave Rackabaugh. You're on the ball. They complain. What did you have to complain about? I heard a number. You were allergic to everything in the bag. It wasn't being built right. Yeah, you tried to help them, they wouldn't listen. If you would have had macaroni instead of spaghetti, it was the wrong noodle. All right? You said there wasn't enough noodles, right? Yes, I remember the complaints. Not enough time. Yeah. Okay. You got to have a plan. Yeah. You were saying I didn't have enough resources. You were saying I didn't have enough time. I got the wrong personnel. The guys are allergic to spaghetti. I totally did not imagine that would even happen. It's beautiful. That's beautiful. Gluten-free noodles. Yeah. And that marshmallow's got gelatin in it, so now your fingers are unclean or something. I don't know. Yeah. Somebody just wants to eat the marshmallow. A scarcity mindset will destroy your creativity. If all you're saying is, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough people, I don't have enough resources, I can't, you're not going to find your way out of that. You won't do it. You'll do nothing. And when you look at many of our churches, what's happening with men's ministries? Not your church, other churches. What's happening? Nothing. Our gluten intolerant brother said sometimes it's a whole church. It's a true story, guys. His name is Joe. Some whole churches. Something that I didn't see happen, but maybe it did happen. Did anyone think to cooperate with another table? Or were you just thinking about competing with another table? Very good. Say that again. You're still complaining about the 10 minutes? All right. Yeah. More excuses, complaining. What if four tables would have got together and said, let's do something? Listen, some of us don't need a Snickers, right? That's the way it goes. Not all of us need one, but we can enjoy other people eating a Snickers now and then. Do you think it would have helped you or hindered you if you would have cooperated with another table? Would it help you? More spaghetti for you? Yeah. More resources? Okay, one bad apple, right? Could have ruined everything. Yes. Oh, okay. No, that's very helpful. They cheated. Did you hear what he said? He said, we looked at other tables to try and get ideas. Yeah. It's great. Great idea. Isn't it incredible? I mean, how many tables do we have here? Maybe 10, and 3 actually built a tower. 3 tables out of 10. And those towers, I mean, yours is still up, but that's like a sad, one of those like water bird things, you know, that bobs. That thing is sad over there. Look at it. It's sad. It's bouncing around every time he touches the table. It's like, burn, burn, burn. 3 out of 10 tables, and there's only one that's still up, right? And that one is sad. I'm not criticizing, right? That's the worst thing that, oh, okay, you're going to hold yours up with no marshmallow on the top. What are we doing? This exact same thing is happening in all of our churches and in many of our men's ministry groups. This is the exact same thing that's happening. So, how do we get around it? Try something different? Start a committee? All right. You guys see that? I don't have much time, so I got to go. These four initiatives, galvanized for God, faithful to family, committed to church, and serving the community. These four things come from the North American Division Men's Ministries Department. I didn't think about this on my own. I can't remember the last time I used the word galvanized. I think I worked at a steel mill. Some of that pipe was galvanized, and it all would cut you if you weren't wearing gloves. So anyways, galvanized for God. What's that mean? You have a personal relationship with Jesus, and you're committed to serving him in love. Does that make sense? It's galvanized for God. Now, I wrote those other parts there, that committed to serving him in love, because many times when we think about serving God, we think about compliance. I do it because he said it, not obedience. Obedience is the service of love. I do it because I love him. You see the difference, yes or no? Oftentimes with our children, we can be like, do it because I said it. How far did that get you? You might get compliance in your presence, but not in your absence. But when your children love you and they choose to obey you, it changes everything in your family. Faithful to the family. This is how I define that. Committed to servant leadership, providing for the spiritual, emotional, physical, and intellectual needs of the home. Does that make sense? Spiritual, the spiritual needs, what's that mean? I mean, we've talked about it a few times. Family worship, having your own devotional life so that you can be a leader to your spouse and your children. Yeah? Take them to church, drag them there, right? Emotional needs, what's that mean? The emotional needs of your wife or your children. Bring her flowers. All right. Help her in her struggle with the kids. Do the dishes. Are you telling me? I was confused for a second. You sound like my wife. Oh, that's crazy. That's blowing me. All right. Emotional needs oftentimes mean something as simple as listening. Taking time to listen to your children, your grandchildren, taking time to listen to your wife, like really listen to her. When she tells you to do the dishes, love her more. Committed to church. Are you committed to the Seventh-day Adventist Church? What's that mean to you? You attend church. You go to Sabbath school. That's what it means to be committed. You go to potluck, yeah. I mean, see, I'm committed to church. I go to potluck every Sabbath. If there's a potluck on Sabbath, I'm there. Do you bring food to the potluck? Oh, okay, yeah, bring some food too. Your wife does. Gluten-free, yeah.
When you're committed to the church, you go to church not to see what you can get from it, but what you can give.
Okay, good. Yeah. You're faithful in your talents, right? Your time. Money. Yes? I wrote here, embracing the call and responsibility to partner with fellow believers to cooperate in the gospel ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing. That sounds really pastoral, right? Like, what does that even mean? Even after I wrote it, I was like, this doesn't even mean anything. It just sounds like you could put it in a book or something. You have to surrender. Very good. When we commit to the church, we're committing to cooperate with those people. Are you going to get along with them? Not always. Why? Because you're a disagreeable person. It's not always them, right? You're a human just like they are. You've got problems too. And so we have to cooperate with one another. We're not competing with one another. Men's ministries does not compete with women's ministries. Unless it was about building towers. And then serving the community, what's that mean? Outreach. Just what it says. Yeah, that's why I actually didn't write anything on it, because I was like, it's just self-explanatory. Care for somebody else. One of my churches recently, in a board meeting, we were talking, if our church disappeared, would anybody even know it? And at first the answer was no. No. But then as we dug deeper into it, yes. Because the individuals in that church who are doing their individual personal ministry, they would be felt. Their loss would be felt if that church was removed. Does that make sense, yes or no? So even though your church may not have grand programs, when you looked at, are we as a church going to do Jesus on Prophecy, and you're like, well, we don't really have the finances, and our pastor's going to be at another church, and you hesitated. Just because you don't have a big program doesn't mean you can't be doing personal soul winning and connecting with people in your community to lead them to Jesus in the meantime. Does that make sense, yes or no? All right. You guys probably don't have anything to write with. That's okay. I'm only going to give you a short amount of time because I only have a few minutes, so we're going to do this in like 5 or so minutes. Question number one. What do you want to see happen among the men in your own life and among your men in your church? Take some time, very quickly. I don't have much time here, so it's like 2 minutes. Answer that question in your group. Go, quick. What do you want to see happen among the men in your own life and among your men? Quickly. Okay, good. Andy Rakapaw, tell me the answer. One thing, quick. Weekly Bible study. Like sit down devotional style or like a men's Bible study. Good. Breakfast now. He threw food at it. What'd you guys have? Pastor William? Nothing. Not enough time. John? Yes? I'll repeat it after he's finished. Uh-huh. So you want to see men surrender to Jesus, yes? Good. Harry? You want to see your men working in the community, like helping out, like... Okay. Oh, you threw food at it too. Go ahead. You want to get a group of guys together to talk. You want to go out with some men in the woods and talk. Okay. Okay, good. Keep going. How do you tend to accomplish it? Stick with the one thing that you came up with. Now, how are you going to accomplish it? Go. We don't have much time. Go. How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Okay, good. Harry. Okay, so you're going to pick a project, then you're going to pick men that fit that project in your mind and go and do it and then report on it. Okay, Andy, go. Okay, good. What you got? Great. Yeah, go ahead. Small core of committed men.
And from there we have a get together weekly and Bible study.
Get together a week? Are you copying off them?
No.
Okay.
The main plan is start within the church.
Yeah, start within the church.
Reach out to the men who are not coming with their families.
Okay, reach out to men whose wives attend or families attend, but they don't attend with them. Okay, good. One more. Monthly breakfast for your get out in the woods with men and talk. Oh, you forgot the woods. You're done with the woods. All right. Good. All right. Say that again. They don't eat good stuff? I don't know. I've never eaten. Coffee and donuts. Interesting. How do you intend to measure the results? How do you know if you're doing something worthwhile if you're achieving your actual goal? Well, talk quickly.
Growth.
All right, let's just talk together. Growth, attendance? By the fruit. Okay, what's the fruit look like? Growth is the fruit. So as long as you get a group, a big group, then you feel like you succeeded? So I'm sorry, Gene, what'd you say? Okay, so as long as you have people committed to the group, that's success.
Committed to God.
Committed to God.
That's the success.
How are you going
to
measure these things that you do?
It has to last.
Longevity? Their great tower did fall as soon as I started to see who the leader was. As soon as you give someone credit, it crashes. Interesting. That's a whole nother. That's a nugget there. Put that in your pocket for later. How do you measure the results? How do you know that it's worthwhile? We got 10 minutes. Souls from the kingdom? What's that mean? Baptisms?
Yeah.
Baptisms?
Disciples. Making disciples.
Are people growing in their walk with Jesus and becoming more committed?
I've said this to a pastor before. We've got enough members in the Adventist church. We need disciples.
Okay. Okay, good. I think we all can agree with that. We want people that are committed in love with Jesus and are about his business, not just warming a pew. Right?
Right.
Good. Yep. Oh, all right. You measure the results based on how you grew closer? If you grew closer. Okay. So if you're growing closer, then it's probably a good thing. Yeah? By the amount of investment you put in it? Effort. As long as you put effort in, then it was a success. You get a big E for effort. Yes, my friend. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm involved in prison ministry.
Prison ministry? Huh? Yeah. The guys in the prison or they in the ministry?
Another
So you look for certain guys in your church that might have an inclination towards prison ministry and you invite them to participate? Yeah. And then you invite them to go alongside of you. Yeah. All right. We did this in like fast forward mode because I gave you 10 minutes. I didn't talk for 10 minutes. I let you build things for 10 minutes. Combine the two or three elements into one clear short sentence. This process I'm taking you through is how you kind of develop a mission statement or a vision for your men's ministry. Let's do this all together because I got 7 minutes. Okay. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a project, Terry Rogers, right? A service project. We're talking about an event. We're talking about something that happens in which men can connect. It could be a walk hand in hand in the woods. Or not hand in hand. It could be a walk in the woods, single file, right? Eyes in the trees, right? That won't work, no. That's a whole nother level of unity, huh? It's an event. It's something that happens where men can connect. And then from that point of connection, what do? You eat.
Yeah.
No, what do? You serve? You're growing closer together, and then as a leader, your responsibility is to bring them to Jesus. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do something. Make sense? Now, the Michigan Conference is unique. We provide you opportunities. Men of Faith is the beginning of your ministry year. This is where you kick off your time. Some of you are here for the first time. Some of you come every year. Some of you brought people with you. You should bring people to this event for one purpose alone, to let them know you're not alone. You might be in some little church in the woods, right? And you're all by yourself, but here there's other men you can connect with who will walk in the woods with you, right? As a place to connect with other men and build relationships and get pointed to Jesus. This is the start of your year. Then comes November. What happens in November? Deer season. Oh, that's beautiful. True story. Back in the woods. What happens in November? Do you know? What'd you say? Man camp registration? Could be. Marriage retreat. He said, I gotta stop. Oh God, I'm gonna get in trouble. Marriage retreat is men's ministry. Whether you're going with your wife or you're finding a couple in your church who needs to be there. And you don't go to a marriage retreat when your marriage is destroyed. You go there to keep it from getting destroyed. That's men's ministry. That's what we do. Sorry, I got 3 minutes. 30 seconds. Oh, your grown children. I was like, my 7-year-old, let me look out there for a 7-year-old girl. Do you mind coming with our family to this? It's a great idea. That's a great idea. I appreciate that. January, what happens in January? Man camp. Man camp. Does his face look familiar to you? It's the man camp face. No, it's totally coincidental. Anyways, so what's man camp about? Is it father, son? It's so much more than that. That's get every man in your church and take him to camp. Share a cabin together. We will eat beans. It will be bad at times, okay? But you're going to get together. That's like Adventist deer camp in January. We're going to come together as men. We'll do manly things. We'll have more fellowship. You bring your non-Adventist friends to man camp. Get them connected to Jesus there. You get all the young kids and the old kids, guys, of course, and their dads. And you say, let's go and let's do this all together. And you have this incredible experience of sledding. Maybe you go off and you go skiing, go do other stuff. That's man camp. It's subsidized ministry. You ain't got to plan the food. You ain't got to plan the speaker. You don't have to do anything but show up. That's a no-brainer. You got to pay something, but come on. It's a no-brainer. That investment in you, in yourself, that investment in your children, that investment in the men of your church, oh, you can't put a price on it. Can't put a price on it. January, end of January. The 2020 calendar is not out yet. Andy M., do you know the date? It's not on the website. That's the problem. It's the last weekend of January, whatever that is. Now, April. What happens in April? I got 1 minute left. I'm going to wrap it up, sort of. What happens in April for men? You don't know? Oh, this is my favorite time. April, Women's Ministry Month. Golf season? Not up north, my friend, no. No one's playing golf in Traverse City, not in April. Now, all month long is Women's Ministries Retreat. And the women in your church should go to Women's Ministries Retreat. What's that mean? You got the kids. You got the grandkids. You're bringing food. You're making it and bringing it to a special potluck where you and the other men of the church have come together with your kids. You're not going to take a nap that Sabbath afternoon. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But you're not going to do that. You're going to plan something and do it with your kids that weekend. That's a man's weekend. The women are gone. It's a man's weekend. You're going to order pizza after Sabbath. You're going to just, yes. April. June. What happens in June? I'm out of time. Camp meeting. It's a hard thing. I can't imagine. I mean, I have to be there, but some people take their vacation for that. It's incredible to me that people do it. It's admirable. It is an investment in identity. It's a big picture view of the Adventist Church that is crucial for your kids and for your wife and for your friends. It's crucial. Even if you just come on the weekend, it's worth it. July. You know what happens in July? Say what? Lion King? Oh, Blind Camp? Father-son canoe trip? Father-son hiking trip? Father's Day's in June. In Michigan, we don't celebrate Father's Day because we have camp meeting, right? At least that's for the pastors. These are subsidized retreats for you to participate in. If you had to pay the full price for one of these events outside of our church, you're talking about tons and tons of money. But you have father-son canoe trip, you have father-son backpacking trip, and you have family camp in the summer. Take your family to family camp. You can learn archery from Rod, right? Or he'll take you fishing. Pike like this. Yes, bigger. That's what the year in the life of a man looks like in Michigan. It's not sleeping, it's not lounging, though it's okay to do that from time to time. There are opportunities all year long. Tower of Babel, where is it at? Genesis 11. No, where is it at? Is it standing today? No. Why? Because though you can do anything without God, it won't last. If you're going to build a men's ministry, and you can do it. You just got to go and take action and do it. If you do it without God, it will continue to fall to ruin. But if you say, God, I want to see something happen. I want to partner with you. I want you to move upon the men of our church. I want to see a revival of primitive godliness among our men. He will partner with you, and he will do it, and you will do it, and it will last. Do you want that? Yes or no? How many of you want that? Let me see your hands. Father, you see our hands raised. We're yours. Use us. Use us to do powerful ministry for men in our churches. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.